Like to call to order the October 26, 2023 meeting of the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals. This is a quasi-judicial proceeding. All those wishing to give testimony during these proceedings will please sign in. Witnesses will be sworn in prior to giving testimony. All proceedings of the Savannah ZBA are recorded. Decisions of the Zoning Board of Appeals are final. Challenges to the decisions of this board must be filed through the Superior Court of Chatham County. If you have a cell phones or noise making devices, if you will, please silence them at this time and stand and join me with the Pledge of Allegiance and the prayer. Father, we just thank you for this beautiful morning to come together to do the business of this city. Lord, I pray your blessings on this proceedings. Lord, I pray that you give us wisdom to make right decisions and those that would honor you. Father, I ask your blessings on the marriages and families of Savannah and Chatham County. In Jesus' name, amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Under notices and proclamations, I want to make sure everybody understands that the November meeting will be changed to November the 16th. From November the 16th to November the 30th, I think it has a lot to do with Thanksgiving and that kind of thing and putting it far enough off to make the requirements for the public notice. We have an item requested to be removed from the final agenda. That's 0 East 60th Street minimum lot frontage variance, 23-004910. Do I hear a motion to remove this from the final agenda?
Motion to remove.
Second.
Mr. Condon made a motion to remove, and Mr. Plunk has seconded the motion. Mr. Plunk, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes, and the item will be removed from the final agenda. All right, we have the minutes for the September 28, 2023 meeting. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Plunk and seconded by Mr. Condon. Mr. Plunk, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
All right. All right. On the regular agenda, we've got item six. Hmm? Oh, yeah, we better do that always. Before we start, if you're planning on giving testimony today, if you will, please stand up. Let me see who you are. All right, if you will, raise your right hand and repeat after me. I do solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Okay. First item will be Entelman Street, 618 through 624. Okay, excuse me for the typo here. 618 through 624 East Gwinnett Street, height variance request 23-004542-ZBA.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. So this is an item that was brought before this board at our last meeting. So I'm going to briefly go back through the items. It's a petition that centers on 718, I think it's 718 Gwinnett, but it includes seven parcels that are off of East Broad Street between Broad and Entelman Streets. Sorry, I'm going to turn this off. Okay, there we go. So the request in front of you this morning is actually a request for a height variance. To permit three new construction structures adjacent to an existing historic theater. These proposed structures are going to have partial fourth stories that individually could have ridge heights that reach up to approximately 50 feet. This is not an assessment of a submitted site plan, and so all other development standards would ultimately come under the review of the city's reviewing departments at the point that a specific development plan is submitted. Before we get into this, these are the TC2 development standards. And so the subject properties are currently zoned TC2, which stands for Traditional Commercial 2. Relevant here is the fact that 10,000 square foot building footprints are currently permitted. Also three-story developments with ridge heights up to 45 feet. So in essence, this is a request to permit one additional story with a ridge height up to an additional 5 feet beyond what is currently permitted by right. Regard to facts and findings, the development is proposed, again, to cover seven parcels that are off of East Broad Street between East Gwinnett and Intelman. One of the subject properties contains a historic theater that's at 718 East Broad Street, and that theater is proposed to be preserved through this petition. The site is not located within a local historic district or within the area covered by the height map. The total area is 1.3 acres, and a gross density of 129 units could be achieved based on the current zoning. Actually, this number tends to be less, again, once all of the site development requirements are met, but 129 gross. The properties are located within the parking reduction area, and so there would be credit for the existing historic theater that has yet to be determined, but all new construction residences and any eating and drinking establishments that would be developed on the site in the future would be required to meet the city's current ordinances with regard to parking standards off-street and all other development requirements. In looking at the review criteria established by the zoning ordinance with regard to general consistency, this petition is consistent with the intent of the zoning district. It is a traditional development with ground floor commercial on one of the buildings and two other fully residential buildings that would be set back. And again, they meet the development standards for the district with the exception of height at this point. Through a series of upper story setbacks, the petitioner would reduce the visual impact to once you're on the street, you would not feel the fact that there are partial four stories in essence. Use intensification is supported by the flume and also actually by the current zoning. So again, this isn't a request to amend the zoning, just to fully build out what would be permitted. The height allowance would ensure adequate off-street parking. One of the structures would be permitted to be a little bit taller to accommodate what staff understands would be first floor parking on one of the buildings. There are no special conditions or circumstances, with the exception that preservation of the historic theater is a compelling factor in this petition. Literal interpretation would not deprive the petitioner, and the variance is not required to make use of the property. Special privilege would not be granted through approval of this variance. With that, staff does, again, recommend approval of the request, with the condition that future development plans be substantially consistent with what this board has seen in the previous and in the current petition, and further that the historic structure on the site be preserved. One additional note that I'd like to add that may not be fully reflected on the final agenda is that we did receive several letters of opposition at first with regard to the first petition. Once this came back, within that time, it's staff's understanding that the petitioner had several meetings with many community groups that were upset. And since that time, even if you do not yet see them on the final agenda, some of those letters of opposition actually became letters of support. The Victorian Neighborhoods Association, I'm thinking of some others. I'm sure the petitioner will go into detail on them. I apologize. There were many. But I do want to note that the one staunch opposition that came and remained was by the petitioner's adjoining neighbor. So there are two parcels. I actually may recall there was a petition for a front setback to a future proposed structure. The young lady lives in one home and proposes to build another there. And so we did receive an even more detailed letter of opposition from her. But again, it's my understanding that there were conversations between the two of them. And so you'll likely hear some details about that today. But many of the letters of opposition came back as letters of support. So again, with that, staff recommends approval, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Morrow. Any questions for staff? Would the petitioner please come forward?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Josh Yellen here today, along with Jerome Elder from J. Elder Studios, representing the petitioner for this project. Do want to do a slight recap from last hearing until now. When we were here before you last month, our proposal was for a height variance of a limited five-story height variance. Since that time, I will give all credit here to Jerome Elder. He's held at least 15 meetings with neighbors, with neighborhood groups, and with people in the community. We have since eliminated that fifth story. This is now a proposal, as Mr. Morrow said, for a 5-foot height variance to permit 4 stories. So we've taken off the fifth story completely. We had staff support for the fifth story. We've eliminated that. We still have staff support here. In fact, even in relation to the building footprint, since we've been able to meet, we've actually reduced the size of one of the buildings. And so, in fact, the only variance that we are asking for is that very limited height variance. As we said at the last meeting, the properties at the rear of this site are all zoned industrial. They do not have a height limitation. And so we have intentionally stacked all of the taller buildings to the side of the property, closer to the train tracks where the height limitations are not in place, to minimize the impacts on East Broad. As you can see from this angle, in addition to removing that fifth story, Jerome has also stepped back the stories on East Broad. So that's only a 3-story building on East Broad, but we've stepped it back even further from the street to minimize the visual impact there. As was stated in the staff report and the recommendation for approval, part of this petition is the preservation of the theater. Our proposal does include restoring this to a limited theater use, bringing it back to what it was as a real beacon for the community. And so to that effect, we have met with numerous members, and we've been trying to get as much support as possible. We are thankful for the staff recommendation of approval. I know that we have many people here to speak, and so I want to give them time to speak and can address questions that come up during rebuttal. But I'd also like to turn it over, if you will, to Mr. Elder to talk about the outreach that has occurred and the changes that he's made, because really what we're asking for is just a very limited height variance. There's no increase to the number of units as a result of this plan. We're not asking to increase the density over what could be permitted by right. The only aspect that we're asking for is the height variance, which helps us with the parking and helps us restore the theater. And so we're thankful for staff's report, and we do hopefully request that you recommend approval today, but I will turn it over to Mr. Elder.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Move this over a little. So now I have a little more space. Well, thanks, Josh, for leading me into this. But firstly, I want to thank the MPC staff and also thank the community, because honestly, we have had a lot of community input, and the interest around it, the hopes, dreams, and also the concerns, those are things that we really take to heart. My team and I and the developer, we've been focused on trying to see how we can make this something that will not only be wonderful when it's done, but also for the future, because just like this building, which was here from 1946, I believe, it's still here and it still has a lot of history, a lot of meaning, and it will continue to be something that's for the East Side, for Savannah, and will be not just a landmark, but a threshold and an entryway into part of Savannah that people sometimes forget about. But for us, we know it's there and it will continue to thrive. And that's what we want to see with this development and other developments that are happening along that corridor. For us, as he mentioned, we were able to, so in the past, there was a fifth story on this building, which is on the northeastern corner of the parcels. We've removed that, and with that, we expanded the fourth floor on this building just to be a little wider. We still have a pretty significant setback from the facade, about 9 feet all the way around. So it still has a bit of a 3-story expression and then a setback 4th story. But that allowed us to try to get to around the same unit counts. And in terms of unit counts, we are looking at somewhere between 75 to 85. And with that, the developer, and it's a local female developer, everyone knows who it is, but she has been focused on really looking at addressing some of those issues that she's been seeing from her staff. She has many, many staff, and we all know the problems with workforce housing. So she is committed to be doing workforce housing as part of this project. And at this point, we have approximately 15% of the project is workforce housing. That's what we plan. And there's a lot more conversation about how that gets developed and what it is. And there are questions from the community, and rightly so, about how can you ensure that it goes to workforce. And those are things that we will continue to be working on as we develop this project with the city and all the other officials, as well as the developer. With that, another big concern was the theater itself and people wondering whether or not the theater was going to be demolished. And if the petition doesn't go through, are we just going to demolish the theater and build on top of it? Absolutely not. We're actually taking, and we're in the first steps of trying to get this building on the historic register as a building, because the district at this point isn't yet. So we have engaged with a preservationist who's in Savannah, local preservationist, to help us and assist us in getting this building onto the National Historic Register. And a large part of what that is the history. And not to necessarily repeat all that you've heard at the previous presentation, and many people here, the history is not only just theirs, but it's of their parents, their grandparents. East Broad and that corridor, that commercial corridor, was vibrant, and the theater itself was a hub. One of the members of your board talked about it being the place on Saturdays. Actually, other people from the community said that. The theater used to have the ability for people to go there with 6 bottle caps, and to be able to do it instead of money. So to collect the bottle caps, and children and families would go. And it is a historically Black theater, and it was built there. And I mean, at this point, that community, not only has that area just fell away from having that social activity, that place for them to be, it's the buildings fell into disrepair. So we are hoping to revitalize it, and we plan on bringing back 2 smaller theaters within it. We're working with different nonprofits that are focused on film, entertainment, and television to bring 2 smaller 50-seat theaters, one that will hopefully be able to have film, which Savannah only has 1 other film theater that I know of downtown, which is the Lucas Theater with SCAD, or Trustees, 1 of the 2. And also a small digital projection theater. We are working on making part of it a living gallery. So it will be telling the stories of the east side of Savannah, and of Savannah in the past, and of this building and what was occurring, and also it in the future. We're working on also integrating within that. We will also have to the front of the theater, we'll be converting that space more into a food hall, and it's meant to be incubator kitchens, so that it's similar to Krog Street Market in Atlanta and many others that some of us may be familiar with. But it's, some people would think of it more of how a food court in a mall is set up. It's just smaller stations. And those are opportunities for those who may not have the ability to go and commit to renting a space to try and start their restaurants. It's that's the type of thing that we want to make sure this building continues to do. Let it be that revival and that opportunity for the community to grow. And with that, people also need additional housing. And in terms of developing this land, we've also looked into the issues surrounding housing. Parking has been a big one. Traffic has been another. Fortunately for us, this is a intersection that has traffic lights. So that's one of the things that is helpful, because as we continue to develop the project, we have to go through all the processes with this specific plan development and getting all those different approvals, working with traffic and engineering to develop it. And we are reopening Entelman Street and making it wider, as well as accommodating on-street parking. but within our site as well. We are accommodating more than the required parking for both the reactivation of the and the uses proposed for the theater, but as well as for the units. So we have currently, we're at about 130 spaces. And as I said, anywhere between 75 to 85 units. And we still have more than about 20 to 30 additional parking spaces above the existing required on site. That being on the first floor of this building in the rear. And I can show you it here. And also there's a red outline. Here, that's all going to be for the underground parking with access off of this rear street that we've created. Entenmann will be a two-way street, and we've been in conversations as well, because the big concern is, well, parking. For us, we hope that the city is able to, and the county, figure out how to strengthen the public transportation in downtown. Savannah is a walkable city, so we really shouldn't have a major issue once you're here, but getting here could be an issue because, again, public transportation, we don't have control of that, but we're hoping that in the future that will be strengthened and therefore the issues around parking will hopefully be lesser. We do know there's more development occurring and we do know that creates a lot of pressures on traffic flow, but again, those are things that we've been working through and will continue to do with the city as we develop the project. There have been discussions and we've had great conversations with the neighboring church, which is St. James AME, and that used to be a theater as well. It closed and then it was converted to a church, but we've discussed with them how the improvements in Entenmann also will impact theirs and the opportunities that there will be where we're considering also in the event of us, I mean, the concern is you have an active space that's a commercial space that many people come to. There's quite the possibility that you'd have many cars coming up. So if there are more cars than we have parking, where else can they park? And we're talking with the church about the creating a rental opportunity where we can rent that space, the spaces, and lease out that space on the times that it's not needed by them. They've had opportunities to do that recently, and those things also help them create revenue for their future development plans. And Entenmann Street reopening also creates better opportunities for them to have better access to their parking, which currently is just off of what is currently just a gravel dirt road off of East Broad. Going back to what the petition is asking for, as you can see, we have set the fourth floor back by 30 feet on one side and 32 feet on the other side for the northwestern building. And we're, again, this is just very early conceptual massing. So this has not been final in terms of design. It is massing purely that. We will be developing it even further to have an architectural expression that is up for us. We want it to be something that stands out as a very wonderful architectural project for this neighborhood and for Savannah. So that people see it in the future and say, this is what we are happy was done then. We don't want to hear that in the next 50 years, they're saying, yeah, we don't need this. This should not make it onto the, this should not be considered historic. In 50 years, this will be something, actually, when it's built, we would love for people to say, this is what we want. This is what we believe in. And this shows us in the future. That's what my team and I hope for and will strive really hard for. And again, bringing back community input, based on all of our meetings and the meetings to come, I know that they'll be pushing us hard on making sure the architecture itself is fantastic. The developer is also very much focused on extremely high quality and design. But as you can see, one of the comments and something that as we were developing it further, we realized we can accommodate is setting back the third floor. So we'll have a two-story expression at along East Broad. And that also matches with the second story expression that exists with the theater. The massing behind where the old theater was actually is closer to a three-story volume. So all of those things we are addressing. But for us, as you can see, we're exploring using pitched roofs, not flat roofs. And with the pitch roofs, that's part of why we'll need the 5 feet. If we were to go flat and keep it all within it, we'll end up closer to the boxy forms that all we've been hearing is, please, no more boxes. No more big boxes. In the end, you're doing an apartment building. Technically, yes, it's a larger mass, but we will be working on developing it and articulating the facade to do something more than just a box, actually a lot more than just a box. So with that, we've also addressed some of the comments in talking with the neighbor, Sylvia. She expressed a lot of concern around the increased density and traffic and noise and many of the things that could potentially come with development. And we've done our best to accommodate some of the things that we've discussed with her, including setting back our building further from her property line to the house, ensuring that we create a wall of some type. There's a discussion about it being a solid wall, preferably brick, that can be the boundaries for it. And we are going to continue working with all of the neighbors around to make sure that this is something, yes, it's a change, and it's a big change, but we want it to be a positive change, and it will be. So with that, thank you. And if you have any questions, please.
Thank you, Mr. Elder. Any questions for petitioner? Go ahead, Mr. Cotton.
First of all, thank you for all the hard work that you put in. I think it's valuable for everybody. And it is. I'm very familiar with the work that you do, so I know that from a exterior quality standard and such that this will be as beautiful as the other projects that you've done throughout the city.
Thank you.
And hopefully what you and the developer have learned from the experience is that it's positive when you get the input of the neighbors.
Okay.
And while it's impossible, as JFK said, to please everybody, it is possible to have a project that ultimately is a better project as a result. And what I see here today is a better project as a result. So thank you for all that hard work.
Thank you.
Other questions for the petitioner? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Before we hear public comment, can I hear a motion to decide the time limit on each public comment?
I make a motion that we limit the public comment to 3 minutes per person.
There's a second to the motion?
Second.
Any discussion on the motion? All right. Mr. Plunk, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
And Mr. Turner?
Yes.
All right. Let me see your hands if you'd like to speak during public comment. I think we'll just start on this side and move back. Mr. Gerald, would you like to come first?
My name is Ryan Charles, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. I usually like to go last, so this threw me off. The petitioner has been in contact with us pretty much throughout all of the entire initial planning stages of this project. They've listened to and included HSF's input, and they've agreed to continue meeting with us throughout the additional phases with this project. As a preservationist, when I look at projects like this and coming from a background in the National Park Service, I like to go through like a Section 106 review in my head. I know several of you are familiar with that process. It's where kind of preservationists come with their extreme ideas. The developers will come with their extreme ideas, and we have to somewhere meet in the middle and create a memorandum of agreement. So I feel like we've gone through that process with this petitioner. They originally had these kind of extreme ideas, and the city, neighbors, HSF, we've all kind of worked with them on figuring out kind of an in-between. HSF was comfortable with the fifth story on that rear building. So if that's still on the table, we wouldn't mind that. And that's sort of what we've kind of worked with them on. One of the biggest mitigating standards, obviously, that we had was that they're going to rehabilitate the theater and utilize the theater. So we kind of saw that as a, we can give them some things now because we're getting something so amazing out of this. And they're also, it wasn't really mentioned, but they're also rehabilitating the duplex that sits just next to the neighboring house. So HSF is providing our support moving forward. We will continue to provide technical assistance to this petitioner as they move forward. And we just see this as a good preservation project. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Cleedy, you have your hand up? Ramsey.
Thank you. I just want to endorse the project, all the real estate professionals, the present owners, the future owners. Amazing. We've waited a long time. There are a couple ancillary things that should go along with this, which is the most underutilized street in the city is East Broad Street. It really needs to go back to two-way. This may be the impetus to do that with coffee roasters, and it'll all matriculate all the way to Victory Drive. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Can I see the hands again? Who's next? Ma'am, come on, please.
My name is Kim Lyle. I work for Berkshire Hathaway. And I've lived in the historic district for 30 years, and this building is really important to me because, you know, I'm involved in this, the sale of this property. And I think that it's going to be a really bright light to the historic district. And I think that everyone should really think about how it's cleaning up that area and bringing it back to the way it used to be. And I think it's important.
Thank you very much. There we go.
Good morning. My name is Clinton Edminster, and I'm here to support the project as well. I'm a small business owner. I've got a handful of employees, probably about 20, 25 on a good day. And I'd like to support this project. My only concern, honestly, is that it's not the five stories. I'd like to make sure that projects and parcels like this are pretty valuable in the downtown core. The downtown core offers tremendous walkability, incredible transit connections. It's a great place to live. The more people that we can have to join us in the community here in downtown, the better. I think it makes a lot of sense. We've got a lot of jobs coming for this community. I think everybody knows that. We have something like 15,000 jobs, perhaps a lot more. And where are we going to put all those people? I think the best place to do it from an environmental standpoint, as well as in a housing affordability standpoint, is projects like this. I'm super eager to see this one happen. If it was five stories, I'd be even happier, but I'll get what I can take. You'll probably see me coming back to you guys supporting more projects like this. And I'd like to be sort of on the, I don't know if it'd be the right wing or the left wing of this conversation in terms of trying to get as many neighbors as we can into downtown. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next? And this. Yeah, Mr. Jones, come on.
Good morning. My name is Andrew Berrien Jones. I'm chair of the Oglethorpe Plan Coalition, a 501c3 preservation organization exclusively devoted to protecting Savannah's downtown National Historic Landmark District. Assuming that the variance provides that these buildings will be in the form proposed as of today with a maximum four-story height on the Entleman Street side with a nine-foot setback, and a third floor, 6-foot setback on East Broad Street. The Oglethorpe Plan Coalition does not object to this conceptual plan, and we recommend that the architect continue to work with the community and its advocates. The project moves towards a more final stage, and that the architect address other issues, such as parking, that matter to the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Jones, did you sign in?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody who's already spoken, if you didn't sign in, if you'll wait till after public comment and just come up and sign in. I forgot to remind you. Show of hands, who's next? Come on, sir.
Good morning. My name is Michael Higgins. I live at 625 East Broad Street, which is basically a catty corner, excuse me, across the street from this. At the outset, I was one of the more vocal opponents of this, basically because we found out about this from a posting that was lying on the ground. When I spoke with staff, he had no site plans, no renderings, no nothing. And all we saw was a variance for 4 to 5 story buildings. Since then, we met with Jerome and others, and I have become a very vocal proponent of this project. Jerome has listened to what we've had to say. Basically, one of these renderings is the view right out off my front porch that I will be looking at for the rest of my life because I don't plan on going anywhere. And I fully support the work that they're doing.
Thank you very much, sir. Show of hands, who's next? Ma'am. Yeah.
Hello. My name is Damian Districk, and I'm opposed to this.
Speak into the microphone, ma'am.
Oh, thank you. My name is Damian Districk, and I'm opposed to this. We talk about the community. There is one person that I'm very concerned about, which is very much part of the community, is the property at 612 East Gwinnett Street. In the proposal, they say they will reduce the visual impact by putting it 3 and 4 stories. However, if you're looking at this property, all you would see would be surrounded by high-rise buildings. If we take an example of what Charleston has done and build all these and to the historical district there, they built all these high-rises and such, it's a travesty now. And I would hate for that to have Savannah start falling in that sort of their shoes. I really believe that this is a real estate suicide for one member of the community, and we're all talking about how great it is for the community. She is part of the community, but nobody is addressing this issue. How would you like to be surrounded and caged into a commercial endeavor with your resident? You would lose all privacy. Everybody's looking down on you. I would not like to do or see that around me. So that is the reason why.
Thank you very much. Please don't forget to sign in.
I did.
Okay. Show of hands, who's next? Ma'am, in the gray? Or green, I can't see that good today.
Hello, everyone. My name is Sylvia. I am the neighbor, 610 East Gwinnett Street. I just want to say that I am kind of forgiven there, forgot completely. I think it's going to be the end of everything in my life. I'm sorry. But there's some important points. I think the area is amazing. This project's amazing, but it's not realistic. If you see the project, how I'm coming in and out, ingress and out from my house, I have to go around in private street, private in the private, because there's not a street. They're not a street by the train track at all. They want to do one line in front of my house. Everybody going to walk for everywhere to go to the movie theater, to the restaurant. That's amazing. I would love it to do it too, but it's going to be about 100 people walk in the street. That's not going to be realistic, enlarge it. The project is not supported. The street on the cars in the Gwinnett Street in front of my house, the little line, is not able to come one truck. It's not impossible. People walk and driving at the same time. And everybody's going to come from there, is going to exit in that way. He keeps saying, help me, like say, you're going to try to make people left, go left. It's not realistic. They're going to keep all the time. So I'm going to be the only one there. I have a project, my retirement, to build in 2 floors there. It's going to be impossible to do anything. Sorry. And this thing that 2 floors is help a little bit, but it's not that much. It's going to be about 160 people living there, 160 cars parking there. There's not parking enough. It's going to be 80 plus 100 people come to the movie theater. The seats are 100 for go to the movie theater, right? And plus the restaurants. How they gonna park? How do people? You don't have a parking now. Last night I drove there, was full park with the church. They're all parking outside. You don't have a park anymore. I put the pictures because Monday was so scared when I drive home. They had a big accident. It's not structured for that. another picture is from Sunday morning. Sunday morning, where there are many cars around. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. Those cars come all over. That's not 2 years ago. That doesn't not happen 2 years ago. They're very calm. So now it's a super crowd already. It's changed completely. Can you imagine leaving 160 people, at least 160 people, two for unity? Walk in front of my house, all around, all the time. He tried to tell me something. I agree, development. I think Spirit is amazing, but I'm going to be totally destroyed. So I don't know what to do. Thank you. I'm sorry.
Thank you, ma'am. Sir, in the back.
Hello, my name is Reverend Anthony Scott. I'm the pastor of the church adjacent to the property St. James AME, and we are basically endorsing the development and the project. The area there has been dormant for a long time, and also the fact that promoting community and working with the developer in addressing issues, that's common. Anytime change comes, it's going to be different. So you work through the issues and come up with a viable solution. And so I believe that if we continue the dialogue, that it will be something very positive for the area, as well as inclusion with the workforce housing. As they mentioned, how Savannah is developing, the downtown area is developing, and having workforce housing that's close is also part of the formula. We can see other areas like Hilton Head and et cetera. They're doing very aggressive things for workforce housing. So you have to include everything and not just, particular concerns. And that's what makes us a community, is that everyone has a voice and that they're able to come to something that is amenable to all the persons. I also have here, she raised her hand, Linda Johnson. She's my steward pro tem there, and she grew up there when the East Side Theater was active. So I would like to give her an opportunity.
Okay, I'm going to start your 3 minutes.
Okay. Good morning, and thank you for allowing us to come and to share.
Please introduce yourself.
Okay, I'm Linda Johnson. I'm the steward pro tem at St. James AME Church, 632 East Broad Street, and a lifetime Savannian. And I did use my Coca-Cola bottles to go to the theater. So, and thankful to Jerome and the team for coming, because there have been some conversations. I'm not quite where our pastor is that I would say I would totally endorse. I'm a person that needs a lot of information before I can go to that extent. And we've had a few conversations, but I can't say that I'm at that point. But I do welcome, I think, the opportunity for the area to grow. And we are appreciative, I think, for the opportunity to have the kind of dialogue that's been established, that's being established. The concern is some parking. Parking is a concern. St. James has been at that location for 158 years, as the lady shared, and I heard initially 75 units, and then today I kind of heard a little 85, and then I think I heard when I came in up to 129 units. So one of the questions I would have is there a plan to expand already beyond the 75 or 85? Because I kind of heard several numbers. And that the numbers obviously impact the parking concerns and why. So while there are opportunities for our church that we would like to explore, and Pastor has said that and we're interested, we really, I think, need to have some really good dialogue so that we're clear about that. By the grace of God, we don't plan to go anywhere. And while we can work out some parking arrangements when we say not in use, the question is, when it is in use, how do we work that out? And we do have a neighbor to our left right now that we have some challenges with. And while we're worshiping, we don't want to be orchestrating tow trucks while we're worshiping, you know, because we can move people, but that will take away from our worship time if we're managing that. So we are open and we are positive about it, but we do have some issues that we think still need to be discussed. The workforce housing is a big issue for me, being a social worker and working in workforce development the years of my career. And so being able to have people who can afford to live in the area. Of course, having been a child that lived near that area is important also. And then alcohol sales. We are hopeful, and we've talked to Jerome about that in terms of the fact that the church is nearby. We know there are some ordinances already that that will not be an issue, that we have people who are consuming a lot of alcohol and right there next to our church. So those are primarily the concerns. But overall, we're open, but we just think more dialogue is necessary. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ma'am in the yellow.
Hi, my name is Claudia Hernandez. I am on 711 Price Street, and I am a friend of Sylvia, and I am very familiar with the area. I think this is a good project, but definitely we are forgetting about the neighbor that is going to be in the middle of this thing. Like, I don't think anybody would like to be living surrounded with people that, I mean, I am a landlady. I have people that works like the workforce, young people that comes here in and out. I had several problems with some, you know, before with those kind of people that work there. You know, young people getting drunk and doing things that normally they do. So imagine having, you're in your house, in your backyard, and then suddenly you hear, I mean, if you see the picture, her backyard faces those balconies. And, you know, people will be like drinking and having a good time, and then she won't have that anymore, that privacy. I think it's a good project, but definitely you should work more with Sylvia. Just put yourself on her shoes, whoever is doing this. And, you know, like, would you like that? That is the main question. And I think, again, it's a good project, but don't forget about who is in the middle. It is important.
Thank you. Anybody else like to speak? Ma'am in the back.
Hello, my name is Ruth Cohan. I appreciate the project and the attempts that it's making to improve the neighborhood and the area. If I were living in the midst of the project, I would have several concerns, not the least of which is the disruption to my peace and quiet around the construction of the project. So if there's any way to inform people in the neighborhood about what is going on step by step, I think that would be greatly appreciated by the residents. I was in conversation with the developers, and I would like to just kind of speak in general to you guys as Metropolitan Planning Commission and suggest that when I look at a project like this, I see a lot of roof space that has the potential for some solar capture and possible abatement of power use and improvement, you know, putting things back into the grid, so to speak, and would suggest that maybe the Planning Commission consider when a new project comes before you, that we have the opportunity here to look forward to the future and possibly improve our power usage and consumption through abatement with solar projects on the roof of new construction. There's a lot of new technology out there. I don't know how accurate this drawing is. I think the other concern that I would have is in terms of green space, it looks to me like there's a little bit of tree planting, I think, that I would like to recommend. And I think this would improve some of Sylvia's issues regarding sound and privacy, increased green space or tree planting. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any members of the public online that would like to speak concerning this petition?
We do have one person. The name is Chantal Morton. I'm going to unmute.
Chantal Morton?
Yeah.
All right. Mr. Morton, would you like to speak? Are they muted?
Yeah, they're, yeah. They're unmute you. On their side, they're unmute you.
Yeah, if you could unmute yourself, we'd give you a chance to speak. It doesn't look like that's going to happen. Any other members of the public here that would like to speak? All right, Mr. Elder, would you like to respond to public comment?
Well, I'll start from the most recent and go all the way back. And a lot of what we've been looking at, yes, we do plan on considering and looking into integrating solar into the project. It's definitely something that is more than on our radar. It's part of our plan. And for a little background, for those that may not know, I do have a master's in design for sustainability. So this is a big thing for us as well. And not just for this project, but for many things, for many other projects. We are also definitely going to continue to work on landscape and tree planting. And those are the things that we will, it takes time to know exactly what the final plan will be, but it is a priority for us, especially since we don't want it to just feel like it's a concrete jungle. We definitely have already started to indicate areas in our site plan for it. We've indicated for just the sidewalk, so we'd have plantings in the sidewalk already, and we'll be working with the city arborist and all the other requirements when it comes to that. And then also we will be continuing to have our discussions with the church. And to clarify, it is the 75 to 85 units. That's where it is staying. The 129, I believe, that you saw when you came in, was he was explaining what we can get based on the current zoning, just in terms of the calculations, but it's not what we proposed. So there's no inching to get to the 129. That would definitely cause a lot of parking issues for us, because we won't really be able to park the site. So yes, it's still the 75 to 85, and that's to help us accommodate the workforce housing. And then with Sylvia, the developer is very aware, and I think I have, and I'm sure many others may have experienced having construction all around you. I grew up in a city in Trinidad and Tobago, and my dad was part of different developments that happened all around, and increased people. All of those things occur, and it is a big change. We'll continue to be working with it to try to see how we can address best and mitigate what she may be feeling and those potentials. Our hope is that what we're able to accomplish with her and with the project will be something, yes, it's a big change, but we're going to try our best to make it still be something that's special for her. I know one of the things that she loves, and I went to her house with her, and she's a fantastic person. So I truly do understand. And her back garden, it's beautiful. It's cute. The wall of the theater is like almost just like an art piece within her garden. The theater doors, the old exit theater doors, are still there. Obviously, no access from the other side. And it's beautiful. And we have no intentions of damaging that, but we will work with her. And we'll continue to work with her through that process. With what the development brings, we will have additional street lighting and all the different precautions that will need to be taken. And if I were to go to the site plan, because she's talking about traffic flow, with Entelman Street being two-way, we will be this connecting road that we are creating here. It will be one way from this point on, but this area here will continue to be two-way. We have to be working with the railroad, but the reason why we don't show more is we're in the beginning stages of discussing with them, gaining some of their property to widen that road so that it will be two-way from this point going on to Entelman, so that we can continue to keep traffic going toward Entelman. And if you were to take 50-50, because that's sometimes how they look at it, 50% of the people may go left when they exit. Traffic and engineering may tell us everyone needs to go left when they exit the parking garage. But those are the things that we have to work through. And we will continue to work through, and we'll keep all the neighbors and all of the different stakeholders involved. We, as you said and you pointed out, it has only made the project stronger. It's made us aware of many things that I never knew, and things especially socially and economically, and understanding, just exploring traffic patterns and the parking issues and the public transportation issues and housing and affordable housing and how challenging it is for people in that situation to even get out of it. So that's why for us workforce housing is so important as well. But we'll continue to be working with Sylvia and all the neighbors. But that's all I have. And unless you'll have any additional questions, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Elder. This time we're going to enter into discussion.
Excuse me, sir. Right here. Oh, the person has got reconnected and still wants to speak. Do you allow?
Okay. All right, go ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Thank you. My name is Chantel Morton, and I appreciate everybody taking so much time to consider everybody's comments. So I really appreciate the work and the efforts Jerome and his team have done with outreach and considering the feedback and really trying to implement everything. And I understand staff had said that there were numerous meetings, and that previous oppositions were now in favor, and some of them have already spoken. However, I didn't see any letters of support with the documentation that was provided with the agenda, and I just wanted to see if those could be included, because I saw that two communications of opposition that were included. My original concern for today was conflicting information, and I'll kind of go through this. Apparently, the public notice that had gone out had said that there was one building that was still going to be five stories, and I appreciate that Jerome has said that it will be only up to four stories max. So I just wanted also to confirm who would be ensuring that when construction is taking place, that the plans will be done within what is submitted, approved, and permitted within that district. That's one of my questions. And then concerns with the height variance being...
Looks like they're connected, but...
Ma'am, did you go back on mute? Okay, that's the problem with this online stuff.
Yeah, they went offline.
Is there anyone else online?
No, sir.
All right, because Mr. Elder, do you want to speak to anything that was just said?
I can speak to Chantel's concerns. Part of the variance request, I can chalk that up to me. What we put on the signs was the maximum that we were proposing. We did not want to come here and have a meeting and then have to continue it because we were still trying to design the project. So the variance request did request up to five stories, and then it also requested a building size variance as well. Through the neighborhood meetings, we were exploring the possibility of taking off some of the height but making the buildings bigger. That ended up being not necessary, but out of an abundance of caution, that's how the meeting was noticed in case we had to make that game time change. But we can assure everyone that the plans that you're seeing in front of you and the condition of those plans is that what we come back and develop shall be substantially similar. And Mr. Morrow is responsible when this comes back through site plan review with the city of Savannah. MPC will provide their comments to ensure that what we are doing is compliant with the plans that were submitted today. So we do respectfully request that you approve of today's variance request as has been recommended by staff. And thank you all for your time today.
Thank you. Hey, Mr. Plunk, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No, sir.
How about you, Mr. Turner?
No, sir.
Mr. Condon?
Just one quick question for staff. The variance as presented is for a height variance specifically, and we're looking for four stories, which we need 5 feet of additional height as the variance is being applied for today, correct?
That is correct.
Thank you so much. Right. Yeah. Okay. Just wanted to make sure everybody was aware of that.
Do you have anything else you'd like to add? Okay. Would someone care to make a motion?
A motion that we approve staff recommendation to grant petitioner's request on the condition that the ultimate final site plan is relatively consistent with the conceptual visuals we've seen here today.
Second.
All right, Mr. Plunk has made a motion to accept staff's recommendation for approval with the condition that the site plan is closely resembles the conceptual renderings that we see here today. Seconded by Mr. Condon. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right. Mr. Plunk, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
All right. Motion passes and the variance is granted with conditions. Next, we're going to hear 115 Dykes Drive, variances to the minimum side and minimum rear yard setbacks for after the fact accessory building.
Good afternoon, Chairman and Board Members. Melissa Lito. The petitioner is requesting two variances to an after-the-fact two-story accessory building, a 3-foot, 11-inch side yard setback variance from the 5-foot requirement, resulting in a 1-foot, 1-inch reduction. And then the second one is a 4-foot, 5-inch rear yard setback variance from the 5-foot requirement, resulting in a 7-inch reduction. This is the subject property's front yard. Move you over to this is the actual subject building. It is a 2-story storage building. It will be only used as storage. And let me give you a little more background on that. There's the side yard to the lot line. And then this is the rear yard to the rear lot line. The subject property fronts 75 feet onto Dykes Drive and 130 feet in depth with no lane access to the rear of the property. The subproperty is on Landlot 54 and is part of the Paradise Park subdivision. It is also located within the RSF 6 residential single family 6 zoning district. Some relevant residential single family 6 zoning requirements will provide you. So the minimum lot dimensions, minimum front 60 feet, minimum lot area 6,000 square feet have been met. All the setbacks have been met to the principal structure. The subject of the accessory structure is that the minimum setbacks for an accessory building, the rear is required 5 feet, the side yard is required 5 feet. Let me go back to this. The subject property is a rectangular-shaped lot of approximately 9,750 square feet, or 0.22 acres of area, and is 75 feet of frontage, and again, has no lane access to the rear of the property. Property is currently developed with a 1-story single-family residence, a shed, an after-the-fact accessory storage structure, and with parking access from the front of the property on Dykes Drive. I'm going to show you some site visit photos. So this is one of their sheds. This is the rear addition that they just received through building permit. The petitioner applied for building permits to construct a rear addition to the one-story single-family residence. When the building inspector arrived on site to inspect the rear addition, it was at that time that he noticed there was a concrete slab and the beginnings of a two-story accessory building, which is this building. The building inspector notified the property owner that the accessory building required a building permit. The owner submitted a building permit application and was told then that the building did not meet the 5-foot setback requirement for the side and rear yard setbacks for an accessory building. Petitioner then applied for a variance request to make the accessory building conform to the development standards. The first and second floors are both 400 square feet in size. The second floor, I think I have a picture of that in the interior of it. Here it is. This is the first floor where I was at. This is how the access will be for the second floor. The second floor is more of an attic than a second story, as it will be accessed from a traditional attic ladder pulley system. The total building coverage when the storage shed at the northwest corner of the property is included will be 35.4%, which meets the minimum standards of the maximum 40% lot coverage. This calculation includes the principal house, an existing shed in center of western property boundary, an existing shed at the northwest corner, a new addition on the rear of the house, and a new shed that is the subject of the variance request. Let me go over the variance criteria. Under general consistency, the requested variances are consistent with the intent of this ordinance and the comprehensive plan. The request is not injurious to the neighborhood or otherwise detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare. The variances seek to conform to the side and rear yard 5-foot setback requirement to amend a mistake for an after-the-fact accessory building. Under special conditions, there are no special conditions or unique circumstances which are peculiar to the land, buildings, or structures involved and which are not applicable to other buildings regarding the subject property. The current conditions are the result of the actions of the petitioner. However, the petitioner stated to the building inspector and to MPC staff they were not aware of the required setback requirements for an accessory building and were also not aware that the accessory building required building permits until after the fact. The special conditions are not purely financial in nature. The petitioner works in construction and currently has construction materials and equipment in their backyard. They are parents to three children. Two of the children are autistic, and they want to provide adequate storage for the construction materials so that their children may have sufficient and safe backyard to play. If you had noticed the picture in the front yard, all of the playground stuff is in the front yard. Under literal interpretations of the regulations would result in an undue hardship on the petitioner, as variances are required to conform to the minimum side and rear yard 5-foot setback requirements for an accessory building. Otherwise, the petitioner would have to demolish what has already been built. The variances, if granted, would be the minimum variances needed for the property. And the literal interpretation of the provisions of the regulations would not deprive the applicant of rights enjoyed by other properties in the same zoning district under terms of this ordinance. Other residents located within the RSF6 zoning district would be required to follow the RSF6 development standards for an accessory building or apply for a variance to the standards, such as the petitioner has done. Staff's recommendation, based on the review criteria, recommends approval of the requested variances to the side and rear yard setbacks for an accessory building at 115 Dykes Drive.
Mrs. Leto, I thought that it looks like it's pretty tall. and it looks like the height exceeds the height of the primary structure. What about that?
It does. It may exceed. Let's see. Let's see if I have that information here. I don't have the height on here. I think the petitioner would be able to address what the height is of the building based on the primary residence. I would rely on them if you don't mind.
Okay. Well, Tom, what about that? Is it not supposed to be shorter than the primary structure?
Sure.
If it were a habitable building, it would be required to be set back 20 feet from the rear property line. But as being accessory storage, I don't believe that. I don't have the ordinance in front of me, but I don't believe that comes under the height regulation for accessory structure.
So as long as it's just being used as a storage building, that same height as the primary structure rule does not apply?
Yes.
Okay. We just don't want him to apply for two out of the three things that he needs.
I understand.
I know we've seen that before. I guess it was not accessory dwelling units. Yeah. Thank you. Any other questions for Mrs. Letta?
The petitioner is here to
okay.
present as
Would
well.
The petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Hi, good morning. My name is Diana Sutton. I am the owner of the property 115 Dutchess Drive. And my concern is I want to improve the project because I had kids. I had three kids with different specialties. The more I had two kids with autism. And that's very uncomfortable because all the thing is in front of my jar. That's why I need to put all my thing in one building in the backyard because the more important is close everything because in front is too dangerous for my kids playing in front of my jar. Is that the reason that's why I need to put all my thing in the back? So I'm sorry for I can explain more, but my English is not very well. I'm trying to speak more. But that's why he's my husband.
And also, the other storage may be removed, so can only stay there. We take it apart.
Okay. Are there any questions for the petitioner? No. Thank you very much. Any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? If you're online, please use the raise your hand feature. Be ready.
No, sir.
None. All right. Well, Mr. Plunk, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No, sir.
Mr. Turner?
No.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Would someone care to make a motion?
A motion that we grant petitioner's request.
All right. Mr. Plunk has made a motion to grant the petitioner's request for variance. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Turner. Any discussion on the motion? Mr. Plunk, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and variance is granted. Next, we're going to hear 1111 Midnight Drive, side yard setback variances 23-004976.
Good morning, Anna McCory, planner at the MPC. So for 1111 Minte Drive, the petitioner requested a variance to the required building setback along the side yard interior of a parcel in the light industrial zoning district as a result of a subdivision application for Lot 5 Central Warehouse Subdivision at 1101 Louisville Road. Minte Drive is a 40-foot private access easement. That will be considered the front right here on the drawing, where there is an ingress to the parcel. The front yard setback is approximately 10 feet from the roadway, but only 5 feet is required as Minte Drive is an access easement and not public right-of-way. This west side here, this side yard, is where they're requesting it. So there's a required 20-foot side interior yard setback. The building is almost 14 foot away from the parcel edge at its closest point, so it's kind of slanted here and about 17 feet away at its furthest point along the west side. Right. So it meets most of the setback requirements except that 20-foot side yard interior. You can see it a little bit better here, this parcel. It's located within a larger parcel that is trying to be subdivided right here. And then the remaining portion of 1111 Minty Drive is paved asphalt on the other side. All right, let's go into the requirements. So the variance is consistent with the intent of the ordinance and is not injurious or detrimental to the neighborhood or otherwise detrimental to public health, safety, or welfare. It lies within a larger parcel. Both are owned by Old Town Trolley Tours of Savannah Incorporated. It does not encroach on any other neighboring properties. The building was also in conformance as it is now. However, being subdivided, if the parcel is subdivided, it will require this variance. There are no special conditions or circumstances. The request does not appear to be purely financial in nature, though sale of the property is likely to be the motivation behind the subdivision. Literal interpretation would not deprive the petitioner of rights commonly enjoyed by other properties in the same zoning district. Again, the structure was conforming at the time of its construction. A variance is not required to make reasonable use of the land and buildings, and if granted, the variance would not confer on the petitioner special privileges. The MPC staff recommends approval.
Thank you. Any questions for staff? Thank you very much. Is the petitioner present?
Yes, sir.
Please come forward and state your name for the record and sign in.
I'm already signed.
Okay.
I'm Jamie Stuckey. I'm with TR Long Engineering. I'm the land surveyor providing the minor subdivision for this property. And we had originally laid this out so not to include the ditch that's adjacent to this property because it's remaining with the larger parcel. And when we originally had talked to MPC early, it was not a problem. We went through the process, and when we got to this point, we found out it was a problem. So what we're requesting is variance. It's about 17 feet from the existing building over to the new property line, which is right at the top of the ditch.
Okay.
So this has been a complicated little subdivision of a 1 acre lot because we're also having to give the city some right of way over on Magazine.
Right. Are there any questions for the petitioner? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? Is there anyone online?
No, sir.
Okay. Okay, we'll enter into board discussion. Mr. Plunk, do you want to say anything?
No.
Mr. Turner? Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Who wants to make a motion?
Mr. Turner does.
Mr. Turner, he's itching, isn't he?
I motion that we approve the requested variance.
I'll second.
All right, Mr. Turner has made a motion to approve the request for variance. It's seconded by Mr. Plunk. Any discussion on the motion? Mr. Condon, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
And Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and the variance is approved. Next, we're going to hear 4402 Heritage Street, rear setback variance 23-005091.
All right, Mr. Chair, members of the board, Edward Morrow, Development Services Department. Sorry, let me get over to the correct report. All right. So the present request at 4402 Heritage Drive is a request for relief from the 30-foot rear yard setback in the RSF 20 zoning district. This is a situation in which the petitioner received a certificate of occupancy for their home that attested that the home met all relevant development standards. And later it was determined when the petitioner sought to obtain a permit to enclose their rear yard, their rear porch, the porch on their rear yard. It was determined at that point that the porch encroached into the required rear yard setback. Unfortunately, staff didn't speak with this particular petitioner. The application came. The request was for 20 feet, but in looking at an as-built survey that you can see here on your screen. At that point, staff determined that based on this as-built, the front yard setback was actually non-conforming, but the requested rear yard setback was actually 25.1 feet. And so, in essence, what we're hearing today is a request for relief of 4 feet, 11 inches. 30 feet are required. Based on this, the rear of the home actually sits back 25.1 feet from the rear property line. And so the request that we're hearing is for 4 feet, 11 inches of relief. So the subject property is non-conforming with regard to area within the RSF 20 zoning district. It is only 55% of the minimum area that is required, and that may be one reason why there are some setback difficulties here. Again, the as-built was dated March 15th, 2023, and it shows a non-conforming front and rear setbacks, but the front setback was not addressed in the application that staff received. And so according to Board of Assessor records, the home was actually conveyed to the current petitioner 3 days following the issuance of the certificate of occupancy that was submitted with the application. With regard to consistency, the development does remain more or less consistent with the intent of the zoning district, although consultation beforehand might have resulted in a home that was able to meet all of the applicable development standards. Special conditions, the petitioner did unknowingly acquire the home in a non-conforming state, making reasonable assumptions from local permitting authorities that the home had been built in accordance with all required regulations. The request is not due to any action of the petitioner, and the request is not financially motivated. Literal interpretation would likely deny the property owner of rights that would be due to similarly situated property owners. The minimum variance is not required to make reasonable use of the property, but denial of the request would place an undue hardship on the petitioner. And if the request is granted, it would not confer special privileges. Based upon these findings, staff recommends approval of rear yard setback relief of 4 feet 1 inch. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Go ahead, Mr. Gunn.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, sir.
This is an existing structure, has a roof over it.
That's right. Correct.
So all they want to really do is enclose the thing. I'm not sure that they need a variance.
There are perhaps some omissions here. What I'm getting at is that this is an application that staff received in its current state. We did not receive any site plan. We did not receive any, there was no consultation, nothing of to that effect in essence. I can understand the desire on the part of the homeowner to want to bring the property into conformance if there were a future request, but staff is unaware of any future request or any further encroachments that would be associated with this. So in essence, evaluating the documents that we received and with the knowledge that we have, we can see that the rear setback is non-conforming.
Yeah, I mean, it would almost, if we do have the power to grant a variance, I don't know that we have the authority to say that you just don't need one, go ahead. It'd kind of cover them to have it. Any other questions for Mr. Morrow?
If I could add a note, actually, so I believe this was probably forwarded from the building department because it was at the point that the application for the permit was submitted to them that it was then forwarded over to MPC. So I think the issue is that they identified this as encroaching. We won't make any improvements to it because it is encroaching and there's no variance. So it's required for them to act on it.
They should have called that before they issued the certificate of occupancy.
Precisely.
Yes, sir.
Okay. The house was built with the front yard setback was average along the block face. So the front yard is correct. It's with the standard. The rear yard, this was a patio, a poured concrete patio. It does not have any setback requirements.
Doesn't have a roof over it?
It doesn't have a roof over it. Now they're enclosing it.
Okay.
And that's why they need the variance.
Which, understand.
Belton Services, Plan Urban Design, we support.
We thought it had a roof over it, Tom. That's the reason that I thought it didn't need it.
Not that I'm aware of. It was,
okay.
In the plans that I reviewed initially, it was a slab.
Thank you, sir.
That's for staff. Thank you, Mr. Morrow. Would the petitioner please come forward?
Oh, the petitioner is online and she is right now able to speak.
All right, ma'am.
She's unmuted now.
Can you hear me?
Hi, can you hear me?
Not well.
Okay, sorry.
That's better.
Is that any better?
Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I apologize. I'm a little under the weather, so my voice is not so great. So just to give you a quick recap, we purchased this home on July 17th. The appraisal was done on 6/27. I submitted the appraisal so you could see that the roof was indeed built with the original structure over the patio. That is the home that we purchased. When we went to the city of Savannah to request a permit to close it in, they told us that our home did not have a back patio, which we forwarded all of the information to show them that the back patio was indeed there, and it was there when they came to do the certificate of occupancy on, I think, the 13th is when they came of July for that. After a lot of back and forth, they agreed that it was indeed there, and somehow it was missed. They came back and not only agreed that it was there, but told us that they also missed checking for footings and required us to go under and add footings, and then told us we had to request this variance to be compliant.
All right. Thank you very much. Any questions for the petitioner? You got any, Mr. Conan?
Right.
All right. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? Okay. Mr. Plunk, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No.
Mr. Turner?
No, sir.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
So you'd like to make a motion?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I make a motion that we grant petitioner's request for a variance.
Mr. Condon has made a motion to grant the petitioner's request for variance. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Turner. Mr. Plunk, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes and the request for variance is granted. Next, we're going to hear 1600 Damon Street, accessory dwelling unit, lot area, and side setback variance 23-005124.
Sorry, Mr. Chair, members of the board. The present petition is a request to establish an accessory dwelling unit use on the property at 1600 Damon Street. The petitioner is requesting variances to the minimum 125% lot area requirement to establish an ADU, and also relief from the requirement that ADU meet the same side setback as the principal dwelling. In terms of facts and findings, the subject parcel has 60 feet of frontage on Damon Street and approximately 112 feet of depth. It is deficient approximately 720 square feet of the 125% minimum area requirement within the zoning district. The existing structure on the parcel also, there's a 324 square foot accessory dwelling unit that sits approximately half an inch off of the side property line. And so their relief of 4.5 feet is requested specifically. In evaluating the criteria for grant of a variance, with regard to general consistency, the proposal is consistent with the intent of the ordinance, which states that the minimum lot area to establish an ADU shall be a variable standard. And the structure proposed to be used as an ADU was likely used for this purpose previously, since the time of its construction, according to Board of Assessor data, which was 1960. There are no special conditions or circumstances. Construction of the structure proposed to be used as an ADU predates adoption of the current zoning ordinance, and so the request is not due to any action of the petitioner. The request is to use an existing structure. The request is not financially motivated. With regard to literal interpretation, staff found that literal interpretation might not deprive the petitioner of rights commonly enjoyed. If the structure was previously used as an ADU Nonconforming structures and uses may continue despite adoption of a new zoning ordinance. Thus, if the use continued without interruption for under 1 year, I'm so sorry, it would seem I don't know how to turn this off, but I promise I keep hitting the down volume button. So, if the use ceased for a year or more, or if the improvement or expansion were sought, zoning action would be required to bring it back into conformance. In essence, if the use had continued, there would be no need for a petition. So the person acquired the property, the use as an ADU was allowed to lapse. And so now that necessitates them coming back to this board to request use of the structure as an ADU. The minimum variance, with regard to minimum variance, the variance is not required to make reasonable use of the property. And it is unlikely that special privilege would be granted if this were permitted. In looking at, one additional exhibit that may help here. In looking at Board of Assessor data here, this is a screenshot from QPublic. You can see, again, 324 square feet of living area. It indicates here that there is one bedroom and there is one full bath. So, again, the original construction indicating that this particular structure has been used previously for dwelling purposes. Here's a photo of the subject property. With that, MPC staff does recommend approval. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Morrow. Any questions for staff? All right, thank you. Are the petitioners here? If you will, please come forward and state your name for the record and sign in.
Hi, I signed in already. But I'm Dan Danan. I'm the owner of the property along with my wife. She's listening online. Thanks for, she did the application, and I'm really grateful for that. But yeah, we purchased the property in August of last year, and we didn't know. We're first-time homeowners, and we're really regretfully naive about permitting anything like that. So we really just stumbled into the whole situation. But yeah, the neighbor, a guy who's lived there and is a retired architect, who's lived in the neighborhood for a very long time, told us a lot about the history of the place. That used to be a workshop, and that it had a commode and plumbing in it, going back to when, like he said, at least the 60s, and we're grateful that the folks at the commission could find the old records and some old satellite photos showing that it was had been there. You know, weren't any records of it not being there, let's say. Yeah, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions for the petitioner? And thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? Are there any online?
No, sir.
Okay. Mr. Plunk, do you have anything you want to add?
No, sir.
Mr. Turner?
No.
Mr. Condon?
No, thank you.
Okay. Would someone care to make a motion?
I motion that we approve the requested variance.
All right, Mr. Turner has made a motion to grant the variances. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Condon. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right. Mr. Plunk, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and the variances are approved. Next, we're going to hear 103 East Park Lane, variance to the minimum rear yard setback, 23-00514447.
Mr. Chair, I'm so sorry. At this juncture, I'd just like to make a quick announcement with regard to the previous petition on Dykes Drive. In looking at the zoning ordinance, the previous discussion was actually correct. Actually, I'm going to go back and just make sure I reference the correct petition. There we go, 115 Dykes Drive. I'd just like to make sure I insert a comment for a brief correction of the record, 115 Dykes Drive. The zoning ordinance does state, this is section 8.7.3 with regard to accessory structures, bullet point D, the height of an accessory building shall not exceed the height of the principal building in a residential district or where otherwise prohibited by this ordinance. So Mr. Condon was indeed correct. The accessory structure may not be higher than the principal structure. And so the petitioner will either need to come back for a variance to height or they will need to reduce the height of the proposed structure.
And that's regardless of whether it's a dwelling unit or a storage unit.
That is correct.
It's just whether it's a structure.
Oh, sir.
we reopen that? I mean, rather than having this come back in 2 months.
Unfortunately, that was not advertised, and yeah, that's why it was not addressed.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm okay with the setbacks, but I didn't like that height, and it's not supposed to. I bet you some neighbors would like to talk about that, too.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Morris.
Will staff reach out to the petitioner to let them know?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, Mr. Morris, maybe y'all can cut him some slack on that application fee.
All right, this item is for 103 East Park Lane. The petitioner is requesting a variance to a 24-foot reduction of the minimum rear yard setback requirement, which is 30 feet. They are proposing 6 feet 2 inches for their rear yard setback. The subject property fronts 35 feet onto East Park Lane and 50 feet in depth. The property abuts a side-by-side duplex, 102 and 104 East Duffy Street. The parcel is adjacent to a 5-unit apartment building facing Drayton Street and a single-family house off East Park Lane. The property is located within the TN1 Traditional Neighborhood 1 Zoning District and the Victorian Historic District. We have some relevant traditional neighborhood one, zoning requirements for blocks with contributing structures, the minimum lot dimensions, lot area, lot width, the lot area and lot width are pre-existing conditions. So they do not meet those requirements. In the minimum yard setbacks, the front is average of block face, which they meet, and the side yard interior is 3 feet, which the west setback will be 5 feet 4 inches, and the east side setback will be 6 feet. Regarding the rear yard, which is the subject of this variance request, it is a minimum of 30 feet. However, the petitioner is requesting a variance to allow 6 feet 2 inches. They meet the maximum building coverage and the maximum height. I wanted to go over some of the background. The petitioner was approved for new construction small parts 1 and 2 for a 2-story single family residence for the vacant property yesterday, October 25th, from the Historic Preservation Commission with a special exception to allow for a stoop that will be 4 feet deep by 6 feet wide. And they also offered a variance recommendation to allow a 6 feet 2 inches rear yard setback. Actually, the project was first heard by the HPC on September 27th. The commission continued the petition for the petitioner to increase the rear yard setback to lessen the variance request and to redesign the roof line to tie to the top of the building to the bottom. Here is the proposed site plan. This is the lot size. And then this is the proposed 2-story building that they are proposing. Per the Sanborn maps, the parcel has been subdivided in its current configuration sometime between 1898 and 1916. It was likely divided when the 1-story duplex was constructed. This 1-story duplex was demolished sometime after 1966, and the lot has been vacant since then. This will be for a single family residence, so the primary residence, not a carriage house of any sort. This is the floor plans. We have the first floor plan, which will have a master bedroom. And then as you enter into the lane, there will be a garage for the parking, so they meet the parking requirements. On the second floor, there is a second bedroom. And then there is the kitchen, the dining, and the great room, as well as bathrooms on both floors. These are elevations that are being proposed. This is the stoop that was being requested for the special exception at HPC. And this is right here, the garage doors where they will enter to park their vehicle. Going over the review criteria, the requested variance would not be injurious to the neighborhood or otherwise detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare. The parcel was subdivided between 1898 and 1916 and is in existing condition. The parcel is buildable and once had a one-story duplex that was demolished sometime after 1966, as I mentioned. The petitioner seeks to construct a two-story residence with a garage and a master bedroom on the first floor and a second bedroom on the second floor. Under special conditions, the land is peculiar in that it is only half as deep as other parcels along this block, and it faces the lane. The parcel has been divided like this for an extensive amount of time and is therefore not a result of an action of the petitioner. Special conditions and or circumstances are not purely financial in nature to allow the petitioner to use the land, buildings, or structures involved more profitably or to save money. Under the literal interpretations, along this lane block face, the setbacks of other lane-facing buildings have shallow rear yard setbacks. However, other property owners wanting to build a newly constructed home would have to meet the TN1 minimum rear yard setback of 30 feet or seek a variance as the petitioner has done. Minimum variance, the requested variance is the minimum that is necessary to make possible the reasonable use of the land. The rear yard setback, as I mentioned when it was continued from the September HPC agenda, was that they were proposing 5 feet. And so they have increased it by 1 foot and 2 inches. The rear yard setback has, like I mentioned, increased by 5 feet to 6 inches, 5 feet from 6 feet and 2 inches, from the petitioner's original proposal. Many of the parcels have a shallow rear yard within the subject block. The variance would not confer on the petitioner any special privilege that is denied by this ordinance to other lands, buildings, or structures in the same zoning district. Any new construction in the TN1 zoning district that does not meet the minimum rear yard setback would have to apply for a variance such as the petitioner has done. Staff's recommendation based on the review criteria, staff recommends approval of the requested variance to the minimum required rear yard setback of 30 feet to 6 feet 2 inches for a new construction of a two-story residence at 103 East Park Lane.
Thank you. Is there any questions for staff? Go ahead, Mr. Condon.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The special exception for the front stoop, does the stoop sit inside the 6'2" setback, or does the building begin at the stoop 6'2" from the?
This would be the stoop, and it's right in the front of the lane. So where the garage, where you're entering into the right. The building.
So the stoop, where does the stoop begin? At 6'2"?
No, at the front yard, which is the average of the block face.
It would sit inside the.
Correct, in the property line. Okay. Yes. Sorry about that.
And I guess what I'm trying to find out is, if we take the front porch off the house, the front facing portion of the house where that is that at 6'2", or does the porch where the set of stairs is begin at 6'2" off the property line?
It's the rear yard that's the issue, but the porch.
Oh, it's the rear yard.
Yes.
My apologies. My apologies. Okay. All right. Thank you. You cleared that up for me. I was confused by that. Thank you.
Any other questions for staff?
The petitioner is here as well.
Would the petitioner please come forward?
Good morning. Kim Campbell with Ethos Preservation. We are here requesting this variance from you today because of an invisible line that was drawn over 100 years ago, that subdivision of the lot, making this a non-conforming condition. Were it not for that subdivision, we would be meeting all required setbacks for this project. This building is a consistent pattern in our lanes historically where we see dwellings that do appear once these lots have been subdivided. As staff mentioned, the Historic Preservation Commission unanimously approved this project yesterday along with a recommendation for this variance of the rear yard setback itself. And at this time, we respectfully ask that you support staff's recommendation and approve this variance, and I am happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the petitioner? None. Thank you very much. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? Ma'am, you in the front, you can come first. Please state your name for the record and sign in.
Carolyn Fletcher, I just have a question. How does that affect the sale for the church of that property? Because we're in the process of selling that property and the church property and all that is included.
That might be a question for staff because I don't know. Mr. Morrow, can you address that? Or Mrs. Leto, I'm sorry.
Is your question is how does it affect the church's sale?
How would, I guess the question really should be, would the variance, if granted, affect the sale of the church's property?
What church would that be?
Asbury United Methodist.
Okay, is that across the street? Within 300 feet? We send letters out to applicant to property owners within 300 feet.
So it doesn't affect the property that's right across the street from the church.
So, I mean, are you located right here?
We're located between between Duffy and Anderson.
Oh no, ma'am, it would not.
Oh.
Sorry about that. This is on the corner of Drayton and East Park Lane, right here. Yeah, they don't have access to Duffy from here.
Okay. Sir, would you like to come next?
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Michael Jenkins. I live at 103 East Park Avenue, which is the property facing this project. I have three areas of concern. The first is that when I rehabilitated my house and I wanted to add some features that weren't there, I was told that one of the important issues is the streetscape. In other words, that the modification I wanted to make would be consistent with other houses down the street. In the case of this structure, it seems to me that if there were such a thing as a landscape, that it would be much more consistent with what's on the lane to build a carriage house and not this big two-story house. It's really cramming a big house into very small space, as you can see from the drawings. The second concern I have is with solid waste management. It's been a huge issue over the years. On countless occasions, I've had to go out and organize the containers, make sure that they're set up so that the trash truck can pick them up, in some cases taking care of some contaminated containers and cleaning them up. We have the two houses that are behind, the ones on Duffy. We have the five apartments on Drayton. And then the next house over, that would be east of this property, there are two Section 8 apartments that also bring their trash out into the lane. And so I'm worried about adding another family, whatever, and how that would be managed and organized in the lane, where they're going to have their garage, they want to have easy entrance to the structure, and all these countless containers have to be lined up and taken care of. My final concern has to do with drainage. There have been drainage problems in the lane since I've been there, 2013. The city comes every year and grades it because of the deep trenches that get cut by water runoff coming down from Drayton Street down the lane. So here we're going to have a very large roof that's going to produce a lot of runoff, and I wonder how that's going to affect the issue of the managing stormwater in the lane. So those are the three points I wanted to make.
I got a question. Did you bring up your first two concerns to the Historic Preservation Committee?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I've been out of town, and I just today was the opportunity for me to.
Those are great points, but I think they would have been more appropriately brought up to those guys before they approved the project.
Well, at least they'll be on the record here.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Any other members of the public like to speak? Come on. But wait till you get to the microphone and state your name for the record, please.
Hi. I'm Margaret Hartley. I live at 110 East Duffy Street, and this property is backs up or is adjacent to my carriage house with a shed in between the city owns. And I'm just to his point, the garbage that has been a constant issue, and the stormwater management has eroded my property as well. And those need to be addressed with this property. Thank you.
Thank you. Would the petitioner like to respond to public comment?
Yes, I will start with Mr. Jenkins. I believe you sent a letter to the Historic Preservation Commission. Is that an email that went to them and was read into record as part of yesterday's meeting with those with very similar comments to made today? So they were heard by the Preservation Commission in the course of our petition yesterday, late yesterday afternoon. Is that correct? Yes. So those comments were in the record, and they were considered by the Historic Preservation Commission. For the benefit of this board, the Preservation Commission did find that this structure was visually compatible with the other contributing structures within the area. Specifically, as staff has mentioned today, we were continued from the September meeting to meet some visual compatibility criteria in regards with the eaves and the roof line for that. They also obviously approved our special exception request, which was for the reduction of the size of the front porch, which allows us to have a garage door in the structure. So we don't have to request a variance for parking on this. In regards to the size of the structure, we are only at 981 square feet in terms of the actual footprint of the building itself. Again, that is less than 56% of the lot's coverage. So we're well under requirements there. In terms of the trash issue, yesterday a member of the public spoke who's actually one of the other neighbors directly behind this property, fronting Duffy, and pointed out that the issue with this lot currently, because it's vacant, is dumping. So other people are using this. We all know this happens with vacant lots frequently. So by putting a resident here, we think we're actually correct some of those issues. Certainly, our client for this property has already been at and had to multiple times clean up and get cars to move off this property. So we anticipate that actually this project would help with that. We have, however, since the original proposal, made some adjustments. We heard from one neighbor whose building is on the zero lot line that they were concerned the HVAC units were very close and that would cause maintenance and potential trash issues with things falling. We have relocated the HVAC units. You will note that there are no fences along the side of this property. That allows everybody to keep trash cans at the zero lot line if they'd like to. And finally on stormwater drainage, we do meet all of the city's requirements for stormwater drainage for this project.
Thank you. This time we're going to enter into board discussion. Mr. Condon, do you have anything you'd like to add?
No, sir.
Mr. Turner?
No.
Mr. Plunk?
No.
Would someone care to make a motion?
I motion that we approve the request of variance.
All right. Mr. Turner's made a motion to approve the request for variance. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Condon. Any discussion on the motion? Mr. Plunk, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
And Mr. Turner?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes and the request for variance is approved. And I don't believe there are any more items on the agenda, so we're going to call this meeting adjourned.